Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Tuesday, October 17th, week 7. Coming at us, man. Almost halfway point of the fantasy football regular season for most of us out there. And honestly, things aren't over. Even if you're 0-6, it isn't over. Unless you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, it isn't over. So let's keep playing here. And this is a wild week, just like last week, injuries dramatically impacting the fantasy landscape. Of course, we had 5 different guys go to short-term injured reserve last week, one of whom may go to long-term, Anthony Richardson. No news on either front there, whether he's going to have the surgery or not at this point. So you ultimately may have to make a decision if you want to move on from him tonight in waivers. Make the most informed decision possible. Check the news. Do a little bit of research and see. I mean, as of right now, it seems more likely than not that he'll have the season-ending surgery, but I'm not saying 100%. So if you are listening to this, make sure you check before you decide to move on from him. Okay, so this week there are 2 players atop the waiver wire rankings that might not be available in your leagues. That's fine. I cast a wide net here on the show. But their names are Roschon Johnson and Joshua Palmer. Why are they included? Well, because they're available in like 50% of leagues. I was actually very surprised at both of them, but I do understand, hey, some people may have dropped Roschon in the last few weeks, especially last week when he was in concussion protocol. Some people may have dropped Joshua Palmer as well. Last week, the Chargers were on bye. As far as both of them are concerned, I go 10 to 20% here. Know your league, know what will get it done. Honestly, Roschon might be on the lower end of that spectrum because I do get the feeling that a lot of people are going to gravitate towards some of the running backs we're going to get to in a minute. But here's the deal. Khalil Herbert's on injured reserve. Deontay Foreman got the start last week, but he really wasn't that good. And yeah, no Justin Fields, at least in the short term. We'll talk about that. But Roschon will be the lead back in this backfield. And I said all along, I was really interested in him for this long-term play, for this November and December play. What may even start a little bit earlier here for Roschon Johnson? As far as Joshua Palmer is concerned, he's the clear number 2 in that offense. Didn't have massive numbers last night. You know, Keenan Allen's obviously the clear number 1, but there's no reason this dude should be out there in this many leagues. At number 3, Devin Singletary. Yes, Devin Singletary. Now, they are going into bye, so honestly, I think you can go 8 to 15% depending on your league, depending on how needy people are at running back. But here's the reason. He outsnapped Damian Pierce, 31-21. He looked better than Damian Pierce. And by the way, Damian Pierce has not looked good the entire season. Now, this does not necessarily mean that Devin Singletary is now the lead back because it's just one game. But he is worth a look. He is widely available. And if he is the number 1 back, that can potentially be an explosive run game because that is the, you know, it's a Shanahan run game that Bobby Slowick is running in that offense there for the Houston Texans. So he's worth a crack knowing you're not going to have him this week. But the beauty to that, people do this all the time with their waiver wire moves. They sort by projected points. Well, guess what? This week there are 6 teams worth of players who will not show up if you sort by projected points and make your waiver ads. Cincinnati, Dallas, Tennessee, the Jets, the Panthers, and the Texans. So you could probably get them on the cheap, flying under the radar while everybody else is going towards some of these other running backs I'm going to talk about in a moment. 8 to 12% on Curtis Samuel. He scored in each of his last 3 games. He's the number 2 receiver now. And it really boils down to where he sees targets compared to Jahan Dotson. Jahan Dotson is going to do damage further downfield, so higher air yards targets. Curtis Samuel is not doing that. He's close to the line of scrimmage. Ordinarily, I would shy away from guys like that. But the fact that Sam Howell has taken so many sacks, 34 sacks on the season, the fact that he's taken all of those sacks, they want to get the ball out of his hands quickly, or his hand quickly, so that he can avoid taking more sacks. That means lower air yards targets. That means Curtis Samuel is going to continue to be involved. Let's see. Zach Evans, 6 to 10%. Yep. Okay. Why are we even here? Because Zach Evans was like RB4 on this team heading into the season, right? You had Akers, you had Kyren Williams, you even had Ronnie Rivers ahead of him. Well, Kyren Williams has an ankle issue. He is expected to miss time. I don't know how much time, but the injury was severe enough that they went to imaging. He had an MRI. So, at least this week, and Sean McVay was talking about Evans as the next man up. Because Ronnie Rivers is going to miss at least a month with a knee issue. So, this is a short-term play, though. 6 to 10%. I'm not saying 90%, you know, or whatever. 6 to 10%. I don't want to spend 25, 30, 35, 40% of my fab on a guy who I may only use for 2 weeks. Or a week. Who knows? So that's really important right there. Same thing goes for Jordan Mason, 6 to 10%. McCaffrey could play this week. He could miss this week. He could miss 2 weeks. He could play this week. We don't really know. So the only way I'm actually bidding on Jordan Mason, and I do think as of right now, all indication is that he is ahead of Elijah Mitchell, but I do expect a committee there if McCaffrey doesn't play. But the only way I'm bidding on Jordan Mason this week is if I have McCaffrey. That's the only way. I'm going to pass on him if I don't have McCaffrey. So these like rankings, I know I'm very literal when it comes to start-sit decisions. It's like I'm always going to start the highest-ranked guy. I don't have to always pick up the highest-ranked guy in waivers, and people still kind of get it twisted that, oh, well, should I drop a guy who's lower in your waiver wire rankings for a guy who's higher? No, these are not drop rankings. Like, they're not drop rankings. They are waiver wire rankings, so they're designed to compare two guys who are on the waiver wire, not a guy who's on your roster. To do that, you'll have to look to the method that I created. It's in the waiver wire article. It's a quick little, you know, iPhone calculator, calculation. Fancy, I know. And you can determine where your cut line is, ultimately, based on your league settings. And then if your guy in rest of season rankings is above or below that cut line. So anyway, not going after Jordan Mason unless I have Christian McCaffrey. Rashee Rice, 5 to 8%. He ran 22 routes this week, which is significant because it tied with Sky Moore for the second most on the team. This is the first time that he's been top three on the team in routes run. He is trending up. I'm not going overboard here, but we are moving in the right direction. It's the trend that I'm looking for that justifies rostering him. Kareem Hunt, 5 to 8%. His role increased in that win. He did score a touchdown. However, Jerome Ford still looked very good. So this is more working into a timeshare as opposed to, oh, Kareem Hunt has a chance of surpassing Jerome Ford. I don't think that's going to happen based on how Ford played, especially down the stretch. But he may be flex worthy right now in the heart of bye weeks. So he's worth a roster spot. Don't love the ceiling for him, but worth a roster spot because, man, people are struggling at running back. I get it. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 5 to 8%. After a slow start, this was the best performance. It was only 4 for 48. But the thing about Jaxon Smith-Njigba, A, DK can't seemingly get back to full health. B, do you want to pick up a guy at 5 to 8% or a guy at 30%, right? Do you want to pick up a guy 2 weeks before it happens or the week after it happens? Like, I always want to be ahead of the curve. I have found that my best waiver ads over the years have not been the ones where I spent the most, I got the hot waiver commodity. It's the one where I picked up that dude 3 weeks before everybody else wanted him. Jaxon Smith-Njigba could be that. I don't know. We never do know, but we have to keep taking those shots. Elijah Mitchell, 4 to 7%. Yes, I'd prefer Jordan Mason, but I do think Elijah Mitchell would be part of a committee if Christian McCaffrey does not play. Jeff Wilson, 4 to 7%. Raheem Mostert's the lead back. Devon Achane should be back in week 11. Places a cap on what Wilson can do, but I mean, I want a piece of the Miami run game. So he's out there, just not overspending on him. Tajay Spears, 4 to 7%. He's behind Derrick Henry, but only barely. And man, how good did he look on that 48-yard catch? I mean, he's got such juice. If Henry went down, we're talking instant top 15 guy. Kendrick Bourne, 4 to 7%. The Patriots passing game is a mess, but Bourne's coming off a double-digit catch game, and he's 34th among wide receivers in fantasy scoring, so nothing wrong with that. Josh Downs, 4 to 7%, found the end zone. He's like a Curtis Samuel. He's not going to be a high air yards guy, not going to rack up a ton of yards, but Gardner Minshew's going to look his way a lot, as we've seen, And Alec Pierce is banged up, so it could even lead to a further uptick in targets. Wandale Robinson, 4 to 7%. He's caught at least five balls in each of his last three. He is another short air yards guy, but they're prioritizing getting the ball in his hands. Good things happen when the football is in Wandale Robinson's hands. Arrow is pointing up, and maybe, just maybe, we get another game at Tyrod Taylor. Latavius Murray, 3 to 5%, second most snaps in the Buffalo backfield, but he has not been a guy who was rosterable. But the Damian Harris injury has opened that door, although there is another name in the mix I will get to in a moment. But Murray could crack flex territory. He doesn't have a lot of juice. However, if James Cook went down, all of a sudden we're looking at like a 20-touch Murray, which in that offense, that's an RB2. So you get a little bit of implied, you get a little bit of actual value with him. Savon Ahmed, 3 to 5%. I do think that Jeff Wilson, not only does he have the better first name, but he is also the better ad. However, Ahmed is worth rostering because Chris Brooks is now banged up. Like I said, Achane's still sidelined. And Raheem Mostert, even though he's clearly the lead, he's not historically been the picture of health. Chuba Hubbard, 3 to 5%. Yes, they're going into bye. We don't know how Miles Sanders is going to be after bye, but he has not been able to get healthy. And Chuba actually looked pretty good. I mean, it was a favorable matchup. Let's be clear about that. But he delivered. And, you know, again, if you're in slightly deeper leagues, those are the types of running backs that, you know, are worth stashing. Craig Reynolds, 3 to 5%. Okay, so David Montgomery is going to miss time. We don't know how much time because Dan Campbell would never tell us that. But at least this week with the ribs issue looks likely. The last time he was out, Jahmyr Gibbs led and it wasn't even close. So what do we do here with Craig Reynolds, 3 to 5%? I'm not overspending just because Jahmyr Gibbs could be back this week. However, if Gibbs is not back, Reynolds, he'd be an RB2 play in that offense. It's a potent offense. He's decent enough to deliver as like a Jag type. Like, give him 20 touches, he'll be an RB2. You know, and maybe even if he scores a couple touchdowns, crack RB1 territory. Not going to overspend because he is a short-term rental. All right, here you go. You ready? Our boy, Leonard Fournette. He is a free agent. 3 to 5%, though. I'm not going 1% on a free agent. Why? The Bills are kicking the tires on him. I don't know if anything happens there, but there are other teams who are interested. And honestly, at this point of the season, with this many injuries, there is the possibility that he steps in. I mean, if anything, he should be fresh. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's not going to be super efficient. But honestly, if I get like Joe Mixon light production, it's worth 3 to 5% out of him if he does, in fact, get signed. All right, a string of three tight ends, Michael Mayer, Luke Musgrave, Jonnu Smith, all three to 5%. Mayer, it took 6 weeks, but finally happened. I mean, he had 5 for 75. Both were higher, you know, more than he had in the previous 5 weeks combined. Now, it could have just been a one-week blip, or we could be seeing the sign of things to come, but it's tight end. We know how that goes. 1 week can be a fluke, so I'm not going overboard here. Musgrave, just take a peek and see if he's still available. 6 catches in 2 of his last 3 games. We have yet to see his ceiling. I mean, the team is volatile with Jordan Love under center, but he's worth a shot. And then Jonnu, I'm really surprised, but this is sustainable. They have no wideouts other than Drake London, so their trio, because a lot of times I view these teams as like essentially a trio. Usually that trio is 2 wideouts and a tight end. Sometimes it's 3 wideouts, but usually it's 2 wideouts and a tight end. Like Philly's trio, right? Philly has Brown, Smith, and Goddard, right? Trio. Debo, Ayuk, Kittle. All right, well, your trio in Atlanta is 2 tight ends and a wideout, and it's totally sustainable. Smith has 25 catches on the season. He is a top 10 fantasy tight end. I don't know if that sticks, but he's very rosterable right now, and he's playing good football for that team. Sam Howell, 3 to 5%. It is ugly, but he can put up QB1 numbers. He's done it multiple times this season. Yes, he's taken 34 sacks. I can't really explain it, but he's worth a roster spot. Royce Freeman, 1 to 3%. He's only in the practice squad, but he would be elevated if, in fact, Kyren Williams misses this week. He'd be the number 2 back behind Zach Evans. Worth a shot in deeper leagues. Zeke, Ezekiel Elliott is 1-3%. Ramondre Stevenson still the lead, but it's a timeshare. Zeke doesn't have a high ceiling, but he should be rostered in deeper leagues. I picked him up in a deep league last week and ended up starting him, and it didn't work out too poorly. I was happy with it. I won the matchup, and Zeke was a little bit of a part of it because he got in the end zone and exceeded expectation. Jaleel McLaughlin, 1-3%. Go out and check and see if Jaleel McLaughlin is available. Javonte Williams got back on the field last week. He was back in the lead. McLaughlin, though, did see 9 touches, and we know that if Williams goes down again, McLaughlin all of a sudden is an instant RB2. Michael Wilson, 1-3%, led the team in routes, actually ran 2 more routes than Marquise Brown, 10 more than Rondale Moore. He's the X receiver. He has a decent ceiling. You get him on the cheap this week if he's out there. And the thing about this situation is if Kyler Murray comes back, all of a sudden the ceiling's a lot higher. Darius Slayton, 1-3%. The ceiling's high with him. We saw it on display this past week. But can we get to Rod Taylor as the quarterback every week? Marvin Mims, 1-3%. This is a play just in case. Like, we're not using him right now, but this is a just in case Jerry Jeudy and or Cortland Sutton, both of them potentially trade candidates. If they're out, then all of a sudden giddy up Marvin Mims. Jamal Williams, 1-3%, back in practice, could be activated for Thursday's game. He only really has implied value as the number 2 to Alvin Kamara, but there is some appeal here. I don't hate it if I'm in a deeper league. All right, 4 quarterbacks surrounded out. Tyson Bagent, I would go 5-10% in Superflex on Tyson Bagent. He's a rental. We don't even know if he definitely starts, but we know that Justin Fields isn't going to play this week. You can call him doubtful, but he isn't going to play. So Bagent, it wasn't terrible. He scored a rushing touchdown, so you could potentially use him. Brian Hoyer, 5-10% as well. Jimmy Garoppolo with that back issue. Yes, Aiden O'Connell could potentially start, but the thing that tips the scales for me, that you've already used him, they saw it didn't work particularly well. Hoyer wasn't terrible, and when they had the option of choosing either O'Connell or Hoyer to come in for Garoppolo, they went with Hoyer. Tyrod Taylor, I'm going to go like 1-5%. This is a very speculative if he wasn't added last week, because I'll be honest, like, Daniel Jones, he didn't move the offense as well as Tyrod Taylor has. The only time he did was that second half against Arizona this season. Otherwise, Taylor looks slightly better. Now, I'm not saying Daniel Jones is getting benched, because that's not happening. What I'm saying is maybe he stays out one more week and we squeeze some more value out of Tyrod Taylor. Just realize it's speculative. And then finally, Malik Willis. So Ryan Tannehill, the belief is that he suffered pretty much the same injury as last season. That injury is a high ankle, and they're typically 4-6 week absences. So they're heading into their bye. Malik Willis has been ahead of Will Levis since the start of training camp. He would be the next man up. It's not pretty, but he can run. And, I mean, deep super flex, beggars can't be choosers. The beauty here, they're going into their bye. So you'll be able to get Malik Willis very likely for very cheap in Superflex, in most leagues where people aren't paying attention to the bye week stuff. Let me get you your defensive stuff here, too. So if you have any of these defenses, you can continue to roll with them. Buffalo, going to keep rolling with those guys this week. They get New England, Mac Jones. Yes, please. Cleveland, they get Indianapolis, Uncle Rico threw 3 interceptions last week. Yes, please. And San Francisco, I'm going to keep rolling with them. Their matchup isn't as good, but Minnesota, I don't hate it the way that they've turned the ball over a bit this season. Okay, if you have teams who are on bye, there are no defenses good enough to hold through their byes for me. That would include the Cowboys and the Jets are the most likely to be rostered this week. Those two. So I'm willing to move on from both of them and cut them. I'm cutting both the Eagles and the Dolphins. Yes, the Eagles have been great, but they face the Dolphins. And I am going to treat my bench spots like gold. There are no defenses out there who are worth a bench spot. None. I want that bench spot for some wideouts, maybe some running backs, not defenses. And then finally, Baltimore. They've been a pretty solid option for a good chunk of the season, but they face Detroit. I don't want to mess with that. All right, so the good news, though, we have 6 teams on bye. We still have a lot of streamers. Tampa in play this week, facing Atlanta. Desmond Ridder coming off a 3-interception outing. I'll take a piece of that. Pittsburgh is widely available. Go check and see if they're available. This might be a team that you can use going forward because that defense is really good. TJ Watt is elite. The pass rush is very good. The defense keeps them in games, and the defense scores touchdowns. So I really like them this week. Even facing the Rams, I like them. Washington and the Giants, they face each other. I like either side. I prefer the Washington side. The Giants are the number one fantasy matchup for defenses. 5.5 sacks, 1.5 giveaways per game. Don't care who's starting at quarterback, although it would be better if it was Daniel Jones. But I do like the Giants. This is crazy. They're the worst fantasy defense, but they face Washington, and we can just write it in Sharpie, like 5 sacks, because that's pretty much what every defense is getting against Washington. Like last week, 5 sacks. Every week, 5 sacks, pretty much. So, yeah, Giants are in play against Sam Howell. And then how about this? The Raiders against the Bears. Yes, the Raiders are not a good defense, but I want to take advantage of Tyson Bagent, so I will with the Raiders. All right, there you go. Today's waiver wire in place. Tomorrow I'll be back breaking down the initial set of Week 7 rankings for you. In the meantime, you can follow along with me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, and I have a little wager with my wife. My wife says I can't get to 10,000 followers on Instagram. I say she's wrong. I still have a long way to go. But if you want to help me prove her wrong so I can go, ha, to my wife, then follow me on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.